This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well, 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 brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Here on Well, 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 we delve into the issues impacting and surrounding the health and well-being of our gender, sex and sexuality diverse communities. I'm your host, Jack Ranjanan, and this week we're continuing our exploration of positive ageing for people living with HIV in light of Sam Esh's Positive Ageing for Positive People workshop series in Adelaide. We're joined by Robin Leardon from ECH to speak about ageing well at home, building capacity for carers to better support people living with HIV and our LGBTIQ+ communities, and more. That's all coming up this episode on Well, Well, Well.
You're getting Well, Well, Well with the team from Thorn Harbour Health.
So my name's Robin Leardon. And my role is diversity manager at ECH. So I look after all of our programs related to primarily four diverse communities we focus on. So LGBTI community, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, people living with a disability, and people from culturally and linguistically diverse communities. So we're a rainbow tick organisation. So I head up our rainbow tick accreditation work. We have a reconciliation action plan, so head up our work in the RAP. We do a lot in, we have a mentorship program with Purple Orange, which is a primary disability support service here in South Australia. We do quite a bit in the multicultural space as well.
What is ECH and how was it established?
Mm-hmm. So ECH stands for Enabling Confidence at Home. So it's an aged care provider in South Australia. It was established in 1964, so it's been going for quite some time, primarily to provide affordable accommodation for war widows. So it was started by two men who wanted to, they saw a need for war widows who were struggling to find affordable accommodation. So since that time, we now are the largest provider of retirement living accommodation in South Australia, but we also run home services and wellness centres for older people in South Australia.
What was, I guess, when and how did that shift from supporting primarily war widows to ageing South Australian communities?
I think it was a gradual response. Obviously, people who need to access affordable accommodation are ageing, and so it sort of made sense to start to increase our response to older people.
Yep.
We used to have residential care accommodation as well, but we divested of that 8 or 9 years ago to really focus on supporting people at home up till and including death. So we saw that people don't want to go into nursing homes. It's not where they want to end their life. They want to end their life at home. So we provide all of our resources to enable that to happen as much as we can.
Part of those services come out of ECH's wellness centres. Mm-hmm. I guess, tell me a little about the centres themselves and what those services are.
Sure. So we have a number of wellness services across metropolitan Adelaide, as well as down at Victor Harbour as well.
Yep.
Those centres provide a range of allied health services, so speech pathology, dietitian, podiatry, physiotherapy, range of exercise and fitness classes, and massage therapy.
For ageing South Australians at home, I guess, are the majority of the services from ECH coming out of those wellness centres, or I guess, how does that support manifest?
Yeah, so the wellness centres primarily focus on the allied health services, yep. and then we have our home service teams that provide both case management. They support people who have a range of funding options, so home care packages, who are on the Commonwealth Home Support Program, or who pay for it themselves. Mm. So they generally run out of our home service sort of centres. And yeah, they provide, our home services provide a whole range of assistance for people in their homes. So anything from housekeeping, so general cleaning, through to help with meal preparation, personal care, so showering and dressing,
yep.
Through to shopping assistance, social support. Mm. So really providing, oh, and one of the most important things is clinical care. So we have our own registered and enrolled nurses,
yep.
That support people with their medication management, wound care and things like that.
Cool.
So everything that people need to stay at home.
Is there much in the way of, I suppose, potentially for carers or villagers or for other sector partners around capacity building so that the different diverse communities that you work with are better understood and better supported through yeah. those partners?
Yeah, sure. So one of the services, well, the only service really that I manage is an LGBTI-specific service
yep.
called LGBTI Connect.
Yep.
And so that team is a team of four people, and they provide a range of programs. So one of those programs is internal resource development for our staff.
Yep.
So they've done a whole range of resource development, anywhere from providing You Can Ask That sessions during lunchtime for our staff, which were really well supported, through to fact sheets about what specific issues face lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, mm. transgender and intersex people, through to we've just filmed some myth-busted videos. So we do focus on supporting older LGBTI people, but we also very much focus on equipping and enabling our staff to provide that support face-to-face with our clients as well.
What are some of the issues that more often or to a greater degree impact older LGBTIQ plus South Australians?
So I guess higher risk of comorbidities
yep.
or chronic illness due to primarily self-medication of stress and depression due to discrimination they
yes.
faced. So it's not that they face these chronic illnesses because they are LGBTI.
Mm.
It's because as a response of the discrimination they faced.
Yep.
So they're less likely to live with chronic illness, but they're more likely to live with chronic illness, but they're less likely to seek support
mm.
due to a fear of being treated poorly or, you know, I'm a member of the LGBTI community myself, so I'm really aware of, you know, side remarks or dirty looks or just generally being made to feel rubbish.
Yeah.
So people are wanting to avoid that as much as possible. So they're less likely to reach out and ask for support. So, living with chronic illnesses, but also one of the major issues that we see people face is loneliness, social isolation. So we've had quite a number of people who have reached out whose their partner has passed away and they've lost contact with the LGBTI community and they're lonely and they don't know how to get back into the community. We've had, you know, people in their 80s who have owned, like, you know, as they've said, they've known they were same-sex attracted or gender diverse, you know, ever since they can remember, but they haven't felt safe to disclose that. And it's only when they're, you know, 80 that they feel that they can, but they don't have any connections. They don't know who to reach out to.
Yeah.
So thankfully, we at ECH are loud and proud about our support of the LGBTI community. So, you know, we put our advertising out in mainstream media, and that's quite a lot where people come through to us.
Yep.
Because in South Australia there is no LGBTI media anymore, whether printed or we do have a radio program, which was great, with Radio Adelaide, but more and more we're seeing people reach out to us through mainstream media because, just generally they're lonely.
Is there an appreciation or an awareness of the issues facing older queer people? And do you think that that's, I suppose, getting better, getting worse?
I think it depends. I think for organisations or services who are, I guess, respectful or wanting to hear that, their ears are open. But there's quite a number of organisations who either... it's not that they don't care.
Yeah.
It's just they don't see why it's their business.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's very much that we treat everybody the same type of mentality. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are an increasing number of organisations who are wanting to get more educated or resourced about older LGBTI people, but it's very slow. So we were the first aged care provider in South Australia, only the second organisation in South Australia to get Rainbow Tick accreditation in 2017. So it's taken a long time.
Yeah.
And I think there's still only three or four organisations in South Australia. So it's not like the eastern states where it's quite well known. It's still gaining recognition here. So there's only one other aged care organisation in South Australia that I know of that has Rainbow Tick accreditation. And as I said, there are some other providers that are sympathetic, but generally I think there's a bit of apathy about it, really. People don't see the relevance, which I don't think... There's arguments both ways in terms of I think there's a sort of a desire for LGBTI people to become part of the mainstream, but that also, you know, goes back to the treating everybody the same. There's no recognition of the fact that it's fairly recent history that people were still criminalized because they were same-sex attracted or gender diverse. So, and what that has meant in terms of increased chronic illness, mental health issues, social isolation, all these things that we know affect older LGBTI people. There's just no understanding of that for quite a lot of the broader aged care sector, really, which was sort of uncovered in the Royal Commission as well. So there's still a lot to work to do in the aged care system in general, I think.
As someone who didn't go through the Royal Commission into aged care, and given you work in the sector, I imagine it was very much your business and of your colleagues as well. Were there any, I suppose, signs of hope or much, I guess, heartening as a queer person in the space, wanting to support queer people in the space, to come out of that Royal Commission? Because I recall there were numerous damning findings, but I can't say that I'm particularly aware of anything specific around queer communities or potentially other communities that you serve as well around disability, cultural and linguistic diversity, or First Nations people as well.
Look, I haven't seen anything in terms of physical resourcing for either the aged care system or sector to increase education for staff or anything like that. I think LGBTI people were sort of made a special needs group under the Aged Care Act some years before the Royal Commission. So that happened with the Labor government, and then we had, you know, LGBTI strategy for older people. That I think ceased in, I want to say 2016, but those dates might be incorrect.
But the strategy came and went was, I suppose, the point.
Yeah, that's right. And there wasn't, that sort of lapsed. Now we have a diversity framework through the Commonwealth Government. So that incorporates LGBTI, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, and culturally and linguistically diverse all kind of sit under that framework.
Yeah.
So there's good and bad sides to that. We are still have consideration in terms of additional resources required, primarily around education of our staff. But it also puts us into a catch-all kind of situation with people from diverse communities as well. So it dilutes it in a way. And the other thing about the diversity framework, which was the same with the strategies, aged care providers, there's no compulsion to follow that framework. So it's not connected with the quality standards.
There's no obligation there.
There's no obligation.
Yeah.
So as I said, people who, like organisations who are already sympathetic, use that framework to, you know, develop their service provision.
Yeah.
But if there are organisations, as I said, who don't really give a damn, then there's no obligation, there's no punitive action if they don't follow that framework. In the quality standards, it is related to customer dignity and choice. So aged care providers are supposed to provide recognition and support of people from diverse communities.
But
it can go that
from doesn't always
just written on paper, yes, we know they're around, to the high level support.
What issues do you feel, and there may well be some overlap there with other sort of diverse communities, including LGBTIQ people, what are some of the issues that I suppose face PLHIV in South Australia? How does ECH support them, and how are you hoping to help them through the workshop that you're going to be appearing as part of?
Yep. So what we know of people living with HIV is that there's even higher risk of comorbidities and chronic illnesses.
Yep.
They're aging faster, cognitive decline related to HIV.
Yep.
So once again, even more likely to need services, but due to stigma around HIV, even less likely to seek support. So there is obviously the SAMESH. We did have some other services for people living with HIV, but there's a general decline in funding. So we're seeing people who need support, but there's not necessarily the funding to support. So we have a number of people living with HIV who come along to our social programs. So we run a range of social support programs for LGBTI older people. So we've got a monthly sort of activity-based, so excursion-based program.
Yeah.
We have a one-on-one type home visitors program. We run a trans and gender diverse coffee catch up. And we run like an art gallery group as well. So we have a number of people living with HIV who come along to those social programs.
Yep.
We also link quite heavily with our onboarding staff at ECH. So the care coordination team that are responsible for doing assessments and bringing new people into our services. So we assist quite a lot if they have questions about the LGBT community or specific needs such as people living with HIV. But we're really happy to sort of get on board and help with the Positive Ageing Fellowship grant with Samish.
Yes.
Like we know, as I said, we know that people are living at home in quite vulnerable situations and don't necessarily know what support is out there to enable people to stay at home.
Yeah.
The fear of ageing is quite considerable for people living with HIV in particular.
Yeah.
Particularly going into a nursing home or residential care type situation can be terrifying.
Mm.
So it's really important that people understand that there is a lot of support that they can access in their own home. They don't have to go into a terrifying situation away from their home or where they feel safe. So yeah, just that awareness raising for people around what home services are available, also some, you know, re-enabling services. So our wellness services, exercise classes to keep them fit and healthy, but also our clinical care as well. So our clinical team are well aware of a range of chronic illnesses, including chronic illnesses specific to people living with HIV, and they provide really excellent support.
Are there organisations outside South Australia that may be nationwide or maybe more specific to different different states or territories that you would recommend LGBTIQ plus or people living with HIV to sort of reach out to? Are there similar organisations elsewhere?
There's some really great organisations doing some really great work for older LGBTI people. So I always like to give a shout out to my friend, Dr. Catherine Barrett, who works out of Melbourne. So she's got an organisation called Celebrate Ageing. So it's not just LGBTI specific, although she has a LGBTI specific program or arm.
Yeah.
But she also focuses on elder abuse, particularly around sexual abuse of older people.
Yeah.
Generally empowering older people, which is fantastic. Vows Cafe, also Melbourne-based, offers a range of resources and tools.
That are accessible online?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if people just Google Vows Cafe, they'll be able to find that information. That's really, they provide some really great resources for aged care providers who are wanting to know more about how to support older LGBT people who don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So they're a really great organisation. Grey, G-R-A-I, in Western Australia, they're a really excellent organisation, provide a range of social programs for older LGBT people, a range of resources for community members as well. Obviously, in the eastern states, there's ACON. So there is a range of organisations that are LGBT specific, which is great. In South Australia, ECH works quite closely with, in particular, a lesser extent, other organisations who provide a range of programs for LGBT people. So specifically LGBT older people. So that's COTA SA, so Council of the Aging. They have a Rainbow Hub program and they also run Silver Rainbow training for aged care providers. And that is a peer-led program. So LGBTI people aged over 55 run that program. So yep. It's a really great program. And also the Catalyst Foundation here in South Australia. They run a number of social groups for LGBTI people as well. And we also work quite closely with United Communities who run a program called Befriend.
Yeah.
So that's the longest running LGBTI program in South Australia, been running for 28 years. And they run sort of mentorship type program for newly identifying people of whatever age.
Yeah.
It's not age specific. So they're three really great programs here in South Australia as well.
Cool. If people want to find out more about ECH, where can they go?
So if people want to know more about ECH, they can get onto our website, which is ech.asn.au, or they can call our customer service line, which is called Member Connect, on 1300 275 324.
Cool. Robin, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ plus health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.